Father, we do thank you that it's your completed work that you wrought through your Son, Jesus, that gives us life. And Lord, I just ask, Father, that even today you would continue that work in us. And we know that it's completed, but yet it won't be completed until the day of Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us to just live surrendered and gracious for all that you have accomplished for us. And help us to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of you. We just thank you in Jesus' name. So honestly, I was really hoping, Tyler, that I wasn't wrong and misunderstood and Tyler was teaching today. So, but that's because of a personal reason that we're going to get into today. And there's some things that, well, I want to start off with sharing. This is basically a week's worth of failures and God's grace in my life. So sorry I'm the example today. But in John 13:19, Jesus says, I tell you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am He. And in the last few weeks as I was finishing up Thessalonians, the Lord really impressed upon my heart. Well, 2 Thessalonians 3:5 tells us, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patience of Christ. And so, of course, I was sharing for a couple of weeks, but I get to learn now. The Lord even showed even more to me some things through my failures, or well, continued failures. But anyway, I'm not going to go into details on everything. But James tells us that if we confess our faults to one another and pray for one another, that we be healed. So today's my confession. And I hope it ministers and helps, because the Lord prepares us. He tells us ahead of time. He wants to lead us and direct us into the love of God and to the patience of Christ. And sometimes we're not, even though we think we're listening, or we're put in a situation that sometimes we think we're ready for, that we don't always quite pass the test in our eyes. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out how to word some stuff with. Basically, last week I was with my family, and most of you who know me, and I even say it, that I usually don't keep my mouth shut. And when I get angry, it's harder to shut, even with warnings, with someone saying, you might want to be quiet, and not listening. And ultimately, what I realized is, for me, and I'm going to describe this, but I hope it's not just for me, but the Lord's used it in your lives, or maybe you're there now. It says, I failed ultimately. My failure was to argue without seeking the Lord and how He wanted me to respond. And because I allowed myself to get angry and felt like I had to defend myself, I put myself in a position where I can't say I was angry and didn't sin. So, does anybody... this is just where I'm at, and there's a reason, because right after, well, basically kind of ruined our weekend, and didn't ruin it, but it just changed. Through my mistakes and not trusting the Lord, and that's the best way I can say it, and not allowing Him to direct my heart into love and patience, and allowing myself to be angry and trusting in my own understanding and will, afterwards, when you realize you're wrong, it really opens up the door for the enemy. And 1 Peter says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. See, this is why I think I can share it, because we all suffer some of the same things. And the enemy wants to... And the enemy loves to destroy. Rob, kill, and destroy. The Lord wants us to have life, and that more abundantly. But when our minds... not focused on the Lord, and we're looking in a mirror too much, or at ourselves too much, or at our neighbors, or whatever, our focus is off. And the enemy has the ability to come in, and he has a field day. Well, I'm going to ask you, anybody been through that? Right. And so, like, you don't feel any... In those times, and I'm just putting it out there because, and that is, you want to get to be by yourself, you feel worthless, loser, you know, blah, 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 and you start going down this depressed road, and then you don't want to be around anybody, you don't want to hear anything you've done wrong because you already know that you're not doing anything right, and blah, blah, blah. Does anybody go through any of that? Yes, no, or is it just me? Because if you haven't, you should be up here. I always say that the Lord can speak through anybody, so I'm just finding that usually He shows me Himself so that I can know Him better than revealing myself to me. But the enemy wants to condemn. I wrote down that he brings condemnation. It's to defeat you and to tear you down. And he may even use the word of God. He did to Eve. He did to Jesus. And he will use God's word to you as well if we don't have the right heart behind it and understand the Lord. Because I always have this one verse that I always have in my head that I don't want to be, but I always become. Or walk out. It says, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. It's one of these things, it's like God's children live in such a way that the unbelieving world blasphemes God because of the way we live. And at this point, you can hear the word of God and say, let the enemy come in there and just tear you down. Or we can let the Lord build us up and find salvation in Jesus and not ourselves. And that's kind of something I'm working through this week because of some of the things that I felt emotionally and for whatever reason. And that condemnation comes in, and we get our eyes focused on us and the situation, and we take our eyes off the Lord. And I share these verses because I didn't come to the Lord as a kid because I felt like there wasn't anything real in a church. But now that I'm walking with the Lord more and trying to learn patience and all, it's like, we all suffer the same things, and we react and do different things, and we all need Jesus daily. I'm saved because I know I need saved. I come to Him because I know I need saved. I constantly need saved, and I want to know Him more. It's not just a one-time salvation, get your name written in the book of life. It's day by day being saved through His grace and coming to Him and drawing from Him. So is anybody, we've been there, right? Does everybody have the answer how to get out of there? Jesus. Simple. Right? Looking unto Jesus. So the Lord actually had me read Romans this week because I finished the book and I didn't know where else I wanted to share it next time. But will you turn with me to Romans 7? And just so you know, as I was reading Romans 7, I was like, gee, this is what the whole week's been like for me. Or really, my Christian walk. and that is verse 14. It says, "For we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, and I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." Do you have that inner struggle and walk through these things in your walk with the Lord daily? Whether it's calling you to yourself, but I don't have time, or I'm not trying, like there's many things. We know the things we want to do, we don't do, and the things we don't want to do, we end up doing. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, I practice. Now, if I do what I do, it's a tongue twister. For if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, and the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You know, you go through all these different things, and I'm just going through mentally, like, you blew it. You know, I'm just trying to put it out there how I was going through. And you're starting like, well, Lord, you know that's not my heart. My heart is to, or at least I say my heart is, but many times he's like, no, really, your heart shows what it is. And that even makes you more depressed and need more salvation. But anyway. I find, like, yeah, I want to do the right things, but I find myself not doing it. And you find yourself in that dilemma that Paul has and that we have daily. But again, we got to come back to what Paul understood and came and remembered. And that is, it's who will deliver me? Paul's saying, I can't. So what's he need? A Savior. And his next word is, I thank God. Paul's saying all these things are in me, and the Lord's trying to tell me that you as a human do not measure up in perfection as God. You're not going to. I have to trust the Lord in His completeness and in His perfection. It's not based on my rightness and being right, more than it is of trusting Him in His completed work. And believing Him when He says, you're not going to be able to do it. And when I come to that place and I can say, you know what, I can't. I have to trust Him. I'm moving past looking at the mirror and myself and seeing now I can get my eyes fixed on the Lord. And Kenneth said, what's the answer when I asked him? He said, look unto Jesus. And that's Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, which really means off looking. It means you have to take your eyes off everything else to look at Jesus. So I got to get my eyes off of me if I want salvation. If you want salvation in your life, get your eyes off of you and get you on your eyes on to the Savior. And rest in Him. And trust Him. Because it's not me getting through and getting that perfection worked out so I can walk this out and be right. It's me saying, I can't. I need you to do it, Lord. We sang, seek first the kingdom of God, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding and all your ways, not in the ones you think you have figured out. But in the ones you think you have figured out, better be even more reason to cry out. Who strengthens me? Right. Yep. That He needs to be our strength. And so I just, you come to that place and it's coming to it. It's like looking off yourself, looking unto Jesus. Trust in Him and say, look, because if you go through your emotions, and does anybody in here think if they felt like, does anybody feel like they deserve to be saved? Right? And I'm glad nobody said it. But the truth is you do. Even though in our own we don't, but God created us and He knew what we needed, and we needed Him to save us. So you were created for salvation. You were created for the Lord. And so trying to work, so the enemy can use the word against you to bring about doubt. And just a simple fact, Jesus says, you search the Scriptures and in them you think you have eternal life. But they are that which speak of me, but you weren't willing to come to me. Not, you know. So He's saying, look, these words, just like Romans said, are perfect. They're good. The law is righteous. But not to make you righteous, but to seek the righteous one. And find your salvation in Him and not yourself. And so, I can thank my Lord, thank God through Jesus Christ, because it's not me. If I'm relying on my salvation, I'm in trouble. If I'm relying on my goodness, I'm in trouble. And so when these things happen, and if you don't have proper perspective, like I said, the enemy tries to condemn. And 1 John says, if your heart condemns you. Well, the question is, if our heart condemns, means there's times that it's going to happen. That life's going to come in, and for whatever reason, there's a time that you can allow yourself to be condemning in your heart. Your heart's to condemn, which is to turn away and to hide. Condemnation. It's like that's what you feel like. You're damned. But the Lord wants to bring conviction. He wants to draw you to see an answer and a hope, not continue to point out your problems. Because there is no solution. But anyway, 1 John 3:20 says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence in ourselves. Did that sound weird? We have confidence in God. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence in God. It's not in my strength. If I want to walk in without condemnation, is I got to walk in a way where I'm not looking at myself. And I'm looking at the one who saves and the one that gives life, and that I can trust that He's working in me to will and to do for His good pleasure. And really, for me, this is kind of funny because I've been laughing before I taught Thessalonians. Like, I've been blowing it all the way up to it, being patient, you know. And then you're like, okay, I'm done all this. And then you just blow it again and you go back through the same thing. And it's just funny. But 2 Thessalonians 4:13 was one of the things the Lord's really trying to instill. And that is, we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Because from the beginning, God from the beginning chose you for salvation. Through sanctification. By a spirit and belief in the truth. You see, this is a verse that I've been sharing for a couple of weeks on, and he's sitting there saying, if you want to get away from yourself, I'm your salvation. If I want to be patient and walk in the love of Christ, I need to allow the Lord to be my salvation. I need to have my peace in Him and realize I don't need to defend Him or myself, that I can trust Him. So God from the beginning chose you for salvation. That's the whole world. And the way He does it is He calls us to sanctify ourselves or to set our mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Definition. Looking unto Jesus, off looking at things of the world. But my hope is in a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ, not the person of Scott. Or the person of anyone. I can't look to anyone else in here to save me. But the Lord can use each of us to encourage one another and to remind each other of His Word because we all have the Spirit within us. Right? It's Christ ministering to us through imperfect vessels. And so when I see this and I find that it's not something that I can do and I have to look to Him, I come back and I need that being called and separated unto Him. We read it a lot. I do a lot. It's Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that I might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, that's the sanctification. I need to see. I need salvation. And I need to run to Him because He's the one that can save. He'll speak to me through His Word. But yet, a lot of times, He'll use life to show you how much He loves you. You know, we look at God as a God who wants to beat us down when we make a mistake and say we're not worth anything. That's the enemy. The enemy wants to tell you that you can't come. He wants to put up barriers to keep you. God knows everything about you. He knew before He said, let there be light, everything you're going to do wrong, and I'm going to do wrong. And none of that matters because He already knew His Son was going to pay the penalty for our shortcomings, that we can trust Him for salvation. And that we can come to Him and say, thank You, live a life of thankfulness of the One who saves, and keep our eyes fixed on Him. So, He invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and grace in our time of need. You see, the invitation's open. The throne room's available. The only thing is we need to see our need and know the door's open that we can come. And then I don't have to worry about condemnation, what the enemy says about me. I can come to the Lord and hear what He has to say, and it's that I love You. And You're forgiven. You're clean. You're perfect. And the work's complete. I don't see it, Lord. Well, if you don't look at yourself, believe me. Trust me. And so when we come to the place, when we come to that grace, the throne of grace, what are we looking for? It says mercy and grace. We come looking for not getting what we deserve. That's mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. So I don't get hell, and I get Jesus. Mercy, grace. Sunlight. It helps. At least it helps. And it brings me back to the place in the beginning of Romans when I read, Do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance? You see, the Lord just kept bringing me back to what He says about Himself. I'm good. There's forbearance, meaning bears with us. Long-suffering. Not knowing that it's goodness of God that leads you to repentance. You see, what brings us to a place of repentance? Repentance. What is repentance?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness, okay. When you read the word repentance, what does it mean to you?
Change of mind or change of heart.
Change of mind. Change of heart. Somebody else say something? Did you say? Right. Okay. There's a humbling that takes place.
Godly sorrow.
Yeah, Paul writes about godly sorrow, worldly sorrow. It's literally just a change of mind. It's a 180. It's like, I'm going this way because this is what I think. And God's able to change it so I can head the right direction. Can emotions and all these other things be attached to that? Yes. Probably. Repentance, you know.
And that's even a work of grace.
Oh, it's definitely a work of grace.
God grants repentance.
Mm-hmm. He gives us the ability to change our minds. So that, because He knows that our minds are a little twisted. Okay, a lot. And He has lots of ways He wants to reveal Himself to us. Huh?
Who can know that much?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to know how twisted.
No.
It's scary enough when we get in our own brains, isn't it? Anyway, so it's God, it's His goodness that leads us to repent. God, when we see how good God is, it moves us to want to change our minds. Right? And our hearts. And all this has to come together. And it's coming to a place that we just see His goodness, His forbearance, His long-suffering, His patience. We see our Savior. And then we can cry out, I thank God. I hope this wasn't just for me. But also in Jeremiah 31, it says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And I went into verse 4 because a lot of times I'll stop there, and it's really neat. The beginning it says, again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. What the Lord's saying is, it's my loving kindness has drawn you, and I'm the one building you up. And because I said I'll rebuild you, you're going to be rebuilt. And you know how I see you? The Virgin of Israel. Pure. Undefiled. Completely loved. That's how the Lord sees us. As His. And then 1 Peter 5 says, yes, all of you be submissive. I read this on purpose. All of you be submissive to one another. And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. Casting your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You see, the Lord wants us to change our minds so that we'll humble ourselves and know we don't have the right answers, and we need to seek Him to know how to walk. And He doesn't say that He just cares for you. Down to verse 10 it says, may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. See, these are all learning experiences that we get to know our Savior more and more. And what this really is, as I talked a little bit about a few weeks ago, and it's called, in Hebrews, it's the chastening of the Lord. Sometimes. No chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. You know, when you mess up, you put yourself, these things are painful. And nevertheless, see, it doesn't stop there. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So the Lord allowed me to share. The Lord allowed me to walk through these things. He knew what was going to happen. And guess what? I got to walk through my little chastening. And I'll find out if I'm trained by it, if I have a peaceable fruit of righteousness the next time I walk through it. If not, I'll get to go back through it again. More than likely. Or if not, many areas we do that. And so just coming to a place that I stopped looking inward. So, you know, my whole thing here is, as you can take and learn from what I did, didn't do, and hope to do, and it's something you've gone through or going through, that the Lord can meet you and say, don't let the enemy beat you up. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And just to trust Him and come to Him and rely on Him in the midst of your faults and failures. So, any thoughts? That's why I asked him that, Tammy, to do that last song we did again, because I just feel like it's we need Jesus. And yes, I really didn't feel like sharing this week. I was really hoping I didn't have to. You know, I wanted to go through my digging myself out of the grave or digging further down away from everybody. But the Lord gave me peace through His Word.
When you were sharing, when you said Jesus is your salvation, I like Psalm 27 where it said, the Lord is my life and my salvation.
You guys hear that? Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Not your flesh. Of whom, Father? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. You're more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you.
Yep.
Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise up against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desire of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire of His temple.
Okay. Cool. You want to go ahead and...
God is sitting on the throne. It really shows you the kingdom.